This evening, I'd like to invite you over to Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7 reads as this: "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word that you give us. We thank you for the promises we find in your word. We pray that we would put our trust and our faith in those promises, that we would claim them boldly, knowing that they have been completed for us. And Lord, just pray that you would give me the words to say this evening, that you would let this be fruitful and beneficial to apply in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And what I want to talk to you tonight about is what I said calls a piece of hope. I want to talk to you about a piece of hope. And when I say peace, it's not I-E, it's E-A, peace. So when I was growing up as a kid, I grew up as a Lutheran. My mom and dad would take my brother and I to church every day, faithful. My grandfather was a Lutheran pastor. So my whole family on my mom's side were Lutheran, and we would go to church every Sunday. And when I lived in Cape Girardeau with my parents, we went to the St. Andrews, and there was a pastor. His name was Pastor Lewis. And he would close the service every Sunday with a benediction. And part of that benediction had this verse in it, Philippians 4:7. And I'll read 4:6 through 7 because it's a complete promise, right? Verse 7 is the result of verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And," verse 7, "and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." And what I didn't realize, you know, later in life, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 became a real important verse for me in my life because I was kind of raised as a warrior. My mom is a worrywart. Fear and worry was part of my life growing up. Just my mom was always afraid of something, so my brother and I was always afraid of something. So verse 6 and 7 really meant a lot to me in my life, especially 6, because it says, "Be careful for nothing," and it basically says, "Do not worry. God takes care of everything." But I never really thought about the promise that came after that, that because of that, when you put your trust in God that way, when you don't think about things, when you don't try to be careful, when you don't put thought and worry, there comes a peace. God provides a peace. And at the end of that benediction, Pastor Lewis would add, "May the Lord keep you, bless you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace." And I have to tell you that every Sunday, and you know, growing up as a kid, sometimes you don't want to go to church. It's your parents' thing, and you haven't really see things the same way. But I will tell you that it meant, hearing that benediction at the end, it meant a lot to me. So going to church, I wanted to see that. I wanted to see him because he would say this benediction and he would look out and try and catch as many eyes as he could. And it really meant a lot to me to see his eyes, to connect with him as he was telling me this, that, you know, peace be with you, that God has peace for you. And it was just a reaffirmation growing up, you know, in your teen years and college years, and things are going on, and there's so many things. And a lot of young people, we feel like superhuman. Nothing can hit me. But there's those of us that know when things do happen, and you worry, and you're not superhuman, and you desire to have a peace or a comfort, a calm. So if I think of peace, you know, peace with the EA, you know, I think of peace, the peace sign. Well, peace is about having no violence, right? Peace is freedom from war and violence. And I started thinking, you know, I had a birthday this week and I'm in my 50s. And I had to think, I don't remember a day growing up that there was peace in this world. There have always been wars. There have always been conflicts. There's always been somebody doing something to somebody. My entire life, I don't remember a period of time there was ever peace on this world. But that's not the peace I want to talk about. I want to talk about peace as in a calm Peace as a calm is defined as a state of not being interrupted or annoyed by worry, problems, noise, unwanted actions. Peace is a calm and it's a quiet. It's a freedom from a worry and annoyance. And when we think about that definition of peace, that calm, it's completely opposite of what the world provides, what the world affords us. Like I said, I have not known a day of peace in my entire life of this world. There's never been peace. The world is full of interruptions, problems, noise, annoyances, corruption, and evil. And Jesus even said that the peace he gives us, the world cannot. Because in John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I like that last piece. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And God's making a promise, I have peace for you. So I would think of peace as the antidote to fear, God's gift. Because I was raised as a worrywart. I was raised as a warrior, always looking out for the bad. And I wanted to share a true peace. When Pastor Lewis said a peace, or when Philippians 4:7, it passeth all understanding. When you think of what passes all understanding, what is peace beyond that which I can comprehend? Have you ever had that? And I want to share with you, I have had that at least once in my life. It is so profound that I carry it with me probably every day. It's like, have you ever been somewhere and you knew something was going to happen? Something bad. Or you thought, maybe you were worrying, but we're not supposed to worry. And you're like, no, it's not going to happen. But then it does. It catches you unawares. It catches you off guard. And you're shocked and you're surprised by it. And you're like, oh, it did happen. Well, there was a time when my wife and I were traveling. We had a minivan, the only brand new car we ever bought. And it seems like that was the one that deer wanted to run into, try and hit. This was the one that everyone tried to hit you with. It was weird. It's like, hey, you got a brand new car, it's going to get destroyed. I'm going to teach you what material goods are worth, right? But we were driving home one time from her parents' house, my wife's parents' house, which is Quincy, Illinois. And we come through the country. And we're heading southwest through Missouri. And it was late, probably a Sunday night. I forget if it was what night of the weekend. But it was dark and it was late. And it started to storm. And I remember as we got through Centralia that it was really starting to get dangerous. The wind was blowing. It was dark. There was lightning. There was thunder. There was rain. Probably a little bit of hail. And there was a point sometime after we had come south of Centralia, I was steering the car to the right as hard as I could hold the steering wheel to keep it on the road. The wind was so bad, I had to struggle to keep the car on the road. So I knew it was bad. My wife might not have known, kids might not have known, but I knew it was bad. And every time the lightning would strike and it would light up and you could see things, I thought I saw trees being blown over. I thought I see huge things being knocked down. And I'm holding this car knowing that this is really bad. And I had this thought that growing up in Nebraska, one of those things is your nemesis is wind, tornadoes. Your fear of tornadoes as a kid was immense. So I had this feeling that at any given moment, this van was going to get picked up and tossed. I just had this feeling it was going to happen. It was windy. It was bad. And I remember thinking, is this it? This is it. You know, this is going to happen. It's going to get picked up. And what's going to happen is I'm going to be totally shocked and I'm absolutely going to freak out that the van gets picked up and we are all, five of us, are going to die because it's going to throw this van hard. It's going to pick us up and toss us. And just as I sat there thinking, this is going to happen and I'm going to get shocked or I'm going to be surprised by it, I had this peace. I had this peace from Philippians 4:7 that passes all understanding. Because at that moment, when I thought the van would be picked up and thrown, this calm came over me. This peace came over me. beyond all comprehension, there was a peace that said, I'm okay with this. There's nothing that I'm worried about. And it wasn't that I didn't think the car was going to get picked up. I was still convinced the car was going to get picked up. I was still convinced we probably were going to die. But I was okay because I knew I was saved. I knew my wife was saved. And I knew that the kids, one or more of them were saved at the time, and the other one was too young to know the difference. I was in a peace that passes all understanding, and I will never forget that at that time. And as we pulled into Hallsville, the Casey's in Hallsville, is where we received our confirmation of what had happened. We pulled in, ran into the building, and people were like, where did you come from? And we said, we just came from Centralia. And they said, I don't know if you knew, but a tornado just passed between Centralia and Hallsville. And there's no telling where that tornado was in the darkness compared to the van. But it was just confirmation that that peace was the greatest thing that I had ever experienced in my life. So if you think about peace, I want to move on to joy. And in Nehemiah 8:10, the latter half is what I really want to go to, but I'll read the whole thing. Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want to talk about joy because when I think of peace, I think of the joy that goes along with the peace. And the joy I'm talking about is a great happiness. You know, you can be happy. You can be up. But when you're joyful, when you're full of joy, you're beyond being happy. You are elevated. And if peace is the antidote for fear, joy is the cure for weakness. Because the joy of God is your strength. Joy is what keeps you going, and it's a joy to know that God wants you to possess this great happiness. Because it says here in Nehemiah 8:10 at the end, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I had to think about that. You know, joy is being happy, but I never thought it is strength. But when I carry that joy in my heart, I am strengthened. I'm strengthened knowing that the world and Satan can bring nothing to me. I am maybe invincible. You know, as a youth, you think about, I'm superhuman, nothing's going to hurt me. With joy in my heart, the world can't get me. It's like a shield. It's my strength. It's the strength to keep you moving when the trials come at you. When the trials would otherwise put you up in a ball and curl up and just not want to do anything. Or you want to throw a pity party. Or you want to just put life on pause. Joy keeps you going. Because joy is your strength from the Lord. But that's not to say that I don't have days where I'm down. I mean, we all have days where we're down. And every battle in this world takes a toll. But the war is fought and won when I keep my joy. I may lose a battle. I may get down. But it's the joy that keeps me going. And I think if we have expectations that there will be some days where we're down, it will keep us from losing our joy. It will keep us holding on to that joy and not allow it to be stolen. You know, happiness can be a current state of temporary feeling, where joy is a continual position to be in. And just always joyful. And I remember when I was sick at times in the past, I could never smile. My joy was gone. I remember people kept telling me, it's like, I've never known you not to have a smile on your face every day. And after a couple of years, it returned. And you see it in people. When you are continually happy, they carry it. You carry your joy. You're up. You're smiling. It radiates from you. Your countenance shows to other people that when they are suffering, they wonder, why can you be so happy? They're down, and they wonder why you're so happy. And I'd like to think of joy compared to happiness. The joy from God is our strength. If you compare joy to happiness, I think of how cherish is to love. Because one is much deeper than the other, right? When I think of cherish and love, when we take our wedding vows, like the wedding that's coming up Saturday, love and cherish. And you never really thought about it. And I don't think you do until years come down. that you love your spouse. But until years go by and you learn to cherish that spouse is where it goes so much deeper than just the feeling of love. You cherish. You cherish the point of, I know now I'm at a point where if I had to go a day without hearing my wife's voice, it's tough. Joy is like that to happiness. Happiness will vary. It'll go up and down. But the joy God gives to you is deep. And it's easy to hang on to when you put your trust in the Lord. It is something that gets you through the day. So joy and peace. And if I wanted to be cliche, I think joy and peace are the keys to hope. So if you want to get a piece of hope, Romans 15:13 is one I'd like you to turn to if you can, because that's another really good one besides Philippians. This is another key verse part of this, is that Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." And there's times when I've had to explain how I see hope, because, you know, we all say, hey, I have hope, I have hope. You have hope, I have hope, I'm hoping. But when you think of Romans 15:13 and you think of the word hope, there's two ways to think of hope. Hope is a verb, right? Hope as a verb is to express a feeling or a wish that something that you want to happen will happen. I'm hoping. I'm hoping the company gives me a raise this year. I'm hoping my connecting flight is not delayed. It's something. It's a feeling. It's looking forward to something. And that's not the one that I like to say that I have. My hope is the noun. It's a possession. And hope as a noun is the knowledge that something desired will happen. Not that you're hoping it's happened, that you know it's going to happen. It's a certainty. It will happen. Such as, I never gave up hope the project would be completed on time. I had hope that my job transfer would go smoothly. I just knew it. It's a knowledge. It's a possession. So when I think of hope, it's not, I hope things will go all right. I have a hope as a Christian. And my hope is a knowledge. Because it says in Romans 15:13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." And see, I see that in believing, that's a belief. In believing. In believing in what? That Christ died for my sins, that I am saved, that I will not know death because of that. That's a hope. That's a belief. It's a trust. And it's a hope. It's not the hope of things yet to be seen. It's a hope as a knowledge. It's a knowledge that it will be. There's no question that it's going to happen, right? As those that are saved, we don't question our salvation. We believe it. We trust in it. It's guaranteed. It's promised. That's the hope I have in this world. It's not that I hope something happens, that I hope I go to heaven. I have hope. I have hope because of the knowledge of what salvation gives me. The knowledge of salvation is hope. It's not a feeling, and it can't be shaken, and it's knowing what happens when this life is over. Hope is the knowledge of that certainty. Hope is the knowledge of my salvation. And by placing my trust in God's promises and relying not on my own strength, but on God's grace, the Holy Spirit, guess what? Whose fruit in our lives is joy and peace. So joy and peace tells you that I have that hope. And it says that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope, which means it's abundant and it overflows. In my life, there is hope for all. And we should be able to see it. People should be able to see your hope. It should carry it around just like you carry around your joy. It should be a part of you. It should not be able to steal your joy. You should have peace. And because of that, we always have hope. So I think if peace removes the fear and joy provides God's strength, hope is the knowledge of truth. And what is that truth? It's the truth. Death, burial, and resurrection. That frees us from being condemned by our sins. And I could be cliche and I said, I hope that you have joy and peace in your life that brings you the same hope that I have. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessings of your strength. We thank you for the calm you put in our lives at the most needed times. And if we just get out of the way of our unbelief and know that you're in control, you will show us that time and time again that you are right there waiting. And that your joy will help us in our moments that we need that strength that is not of our own, that is more than enough. It was your strength is all that we need. And Lord, I thank you for the hope, the knowledge of knowing that I will not know death in the same sense as the physical death, but I will live with you in presence, your presence forever because of that knowledge and that truth. Just pray that you would bless us, bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.